Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to All About Living. We're here live in the studio at WTDY, Midwest Family Broadcasting, and it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Remember, all programs are also posted on carolcobyradio.com, Carol Coby, K-O-B-Y, radio.com. And we also have an app. You can go and get a WTDY app and put on your phone. Now, how current and high-tech is that? So we're available all over the place as well as WTDY.com. You can listen anywhere as long as you have your computer with you and can get online. So we love being available to you, and we hope that you enjoy connecting with us because we have lots of good things to share with you. This is All About Living here on 106.7 FM, 1670 AM WTDY, now simulcast broadcasting on both FM and AM channels. My guests here are smiling because I don't think you knew all of this, did you? We're just all over the place.
You cannot stay away from us.
No, I know. It's omnipresent. Okay. Omnipresent. Well, we finally have managed to get snow on the ground. And I'll tell you, Thursday was my birthday. And so I was snowed in on my birthday, and I'll never forget my birthday because it was the first big day of snow in Wisconsin. Can't believe, usually by January 12th every year, we're inundated, and outside of our doors, this high pile of snow all piled up, but not this year.
Well, as a celebration, did you go out and make a snow angel and vow to do that every birthday?
No, I looked out the window and saw the beautiful flakes flying, and I figured that gave me a sense of winter anyway. I did go to the movie, though, The Artist, and that is really intriguing. Have either one of you seen
the silent film?
It's a modern-day silent film, and I had read the rave reviews about it. And Roger Ebert said, you'll get over that silent aspect very quickly. And he was right. It's just a powerful story and truly an acting show of excellence. Because if you're just doing movements and facial expressions and delivering a story with body language and facial expressions, and they did have some sound. I mean, it is not soundless. And they do occasionally let you know what they're saying, but you can understand what's going on, and it's a very poignant story. Anyway, it was a fun experience, and it's a little different, and it's fun to see the creative arts getting that creative. So anyway, that's enough about me and getting older. Actually, kind of is a good segue to what we're going to talk about today. The two voices you hear in the background, I have our returning guests to All About Living. They're not unfamiliar to our studio. Eve Galanter is here, and Eve is chair of the Wisconsin Women's Network. And joining her is Helen Mark Stix, who is Associate State Director for State Advocacy for AARP Wisconsin. And welcome to both of you.
Thank you. It's good
to be here.
Once again, Wisconsin is in the news. We've been in the news a whole lot lately as a pioneering state offering a pilot program in something that's new and cutting edge and forward thinking, as our motto is. And Eve and Helen Mark Stix are here to tell us about this. This really stems from the Wisconsin Women's Network, which is an organization, really, your purpose is to advance the status of women in Wisconsin through communication, education, and advocacy, and looking at all aspects of our state and the policies that are really improve the life of Wisconsin women and girls.
And we have been a coalition, a nonpartisan statewide coalition of women and men, individuals and organizations, since 1979. So we're not new to the issues affecting women and girls, but we are honing in on a critical area, the issues affecting our seniors here in Wisconsin.
Well, and when you talk about populations and population growth, the aging population is the fastest growing population. So we're not going away. We're just going to be increasing in numbers.
And getting better.
And getting better, yes. Older and better.
Yeah. Older and better, and unfortunately for many, more at risk.
Yes.
More at risk of not being able to age in a place where you choose, perhaps in your home, whether it's an actual, you know, home that you own or in an apartment, but that our seniors here in Wisconsin, for example, based on the research done by the network, the Wisconsin Elder Economic Security Initiative that you've talked about before on this show, 1 in 4 of our seniors, individuals 65 and older, will live solely on Social Security. And those seniors are increasingly women. We live longer.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to live better as we live longer. Our pensions tend to be either lower or non-existent, and our Social Security monthly payments tend to be lower also because we were in and out of the workforce, we raised kids, our salaries were not quite as high as that of our male counterparts, and we're outliving those male counterparts if they are our spouses or our partners.
And one of the things, too, in the aging era of our life, while we are striving to be as healthy and active as we can, part of getting older at some point, there are challenges that arise, and there's going to be the need for care. And even that whole caregiving model has changed. Decades ago, your family members used to take care of the elders and maybe move in, and now with people working or looking for jobs, trying to stay abreast economically themselves, we have to look to other sources to fill in on that caregiving. Right,
yes,
Helen?
And I think people also have a different attitude towards what they expect in their old age around caregiving. I think it's much harder for this generation of older people to ask for help because the social assumption that you're going to live with your family and your family's going to take care of you is no longer there. But this is a generation coming up with the baby boom that's always been very independent, and they have a lot of difficulty acknowledging that they have come to a point in their life where maybe a little assistance would make life very independent, and they wait until it's much more of a crisis stage. So I think that besides the physical changes that go with aging, sometimes the psychological changes of seeing yourself as a network or somebody who needs to have a little assistance is difficult for people.
And I see it in my own family. I have elderly relatives, and it's almost like they're losing their independence, but by accepting a certain level of help, whatever is appropriate for the stage that they're in, it actually can maintain independence for them on a certain level, because getting that assistance allows them to stay independent.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that's one of the reasons the Wisconsin Women's Network, working with our coalition of organizations, developed a very simple brochure. And it's called It's Not Your Fault. And it's designed both for professionals in the field and family members to share with individuals to say, here are the resources for which you may be eligible. It's not your fault. You haven't done anything wrong. It's where you are now and where we are now in society. And here are some resources that can help you maintain what you hoped would be the quality of life you would have as you age. And It's Not Your Fault on our website. It can be downloaded for free on the Wisconsin Women's Network website.
Let's give that right now, and we'll give that several times throughout the program so people know that an extension of this radio program is the website resource that they can get information on this and many, many other things regarding women and girls. WIWomensNetwork.org. So
please go to the website. We have many publications that can be downloaded for free, printed out, shared with folks who may think that there is no reason for them to ask. There are people who really need help, as my mother used to say. She didn't, but there are other people who did.
Right. As my mother, when she was in her 90s, would go around to the old folks' home and play the piano for them. Play the piano for the old people.
Right.
And she was 92 years old. But you know, that's what life should be. And it's not that she wasn't in need of help herself, but through what the community had to offer and the assistance that was available, she could live this very vibrant life, you know, in the early 90s.
And she could make contributions. I think people forget that even when you need a little assistance, you're still in a position to make contributions and be valued in your community. And people don't want to give up that sense of being valued and contributing.
Right, and the contributions can be pretty hefty because you bring all that wisdom and experience from a full life and then have an opportunity to still contribute it. Somebody might learn something. But this, I'm beyond what we're talking about now in our growing older population, there's some exciting news that the Wisconsin Women's Network has happening, and that's what we want to share with people today because you are launching a brand new program, a pilot program, and only one of five in the country, and you've been selected to be an organization to establish this and launch this here, right in Wisconsin. So go ahead and tell us about it, Eve.
More than a year ago, the Women's Foundation of California offered a highly competitive grant for nonprofit organizations who were interested in launching a Women's Policy Institute. And the Wisconsin Women's Network is, as you've just said, one of five in the country. The other organizations are located in Georgia, Rhode Island, New Jersey, and Illinois. We're quite a diverse group, although it appears that everybody on the West Coast has been left out of this. To launch a Women's Policy Institute, here called the Wisconsin Women's Policy Institute, and the primary goal is to increase the number of women leaders around the state who are actively involved in the public policy process. It's going to be a nonpartisan organization. The goal is to provide intensive training in the advocacy and leadership training processes so that more women around the state can enhance their skills in the public policy arena, and we can talk a little about what that is, in the advocacy, in the their advocacy expertise, and bring that those skills back to their organization, back to their community, to increase the capacity of that group to be effective advocates. And this very first year, where we will be training 10 to 15 fellows in the institute, in the institute, we will be focused exclusively on issues affecting seniors, everything from healthcare to transportation, financial literacy, elder abuse, housing. The whole array of issues that affect the daily lives of our seniors in Wisconsin.
And you do say fellows, but you mean this will just be women.
It will be
and
women.
It's that very academic
it's
term.
It's an academic
fellows.
Term. You know, I thought about calling it fellas, but there appears to be no feminine, you know, solely feminine version of fellow, which does have an academic connotation.
Which has nothing to do with gender when it's used academically.
Right.
But, and you talk about, and I have learned, actually, through this radio program, I have learned over the years the importance of policy, that one person can make a difference, an organization can make a difference on a particular issue or cause, but it's really policy that changes society. And that was a real light bulb awakening where all of a sudden, you know, the clicked in my head, understanding the power of policy. And let's talk about policy a little bit. When you use policy and it's reference to the Women's Policy Institute, and these people will become advocates, what do you mean by policy and advocacy?
We are talking about the issues that first we will take. We will have a substantial training curriculum, and the fellows will come to Madison, be here 2 days a month for 4 months. So there may be many of our listeners who've participated in an organization's lobby day, where you come to Madison, you spend a substantial amount of time, a morning perhaps, immersed in the issues that are affecting your organization, and then you go to an appointment that has been made for you with your key talking points, and you come back and you report. What happened? Did your legislator say, yes, I'm interested in this issue? And that's an important starting point. But what we are looking for is a more intensive, hands-on experience where you will take this policy, and we'll talk about that, and say, here is an issue that affects seniors. And maybe it's a law, there ought to be a law kind of thing, or maybe it's a law that exists that we need to tweak a bit, or we need to work on implementation, and it will be a hands-on experience going from working in a team to meet with legislators, to find someone who may be interested in introducing your issue as a policy. Everything all the way through to the possibility of a bill being introduced, of participating in a hearing, learning to craft testimony, working with the media, how to write letters to the editor, how to craft a guest column or an op-ed, how to engage people in your community in moving forward on an issue, or working with a cabinet-level member, an agency head, to talk about the administrative rules or the regulations that are involved in a particular issue. So it's going to be a sort of hands-on, work it all the way through the process. And if this year, 2012, there'll be a very short legislative session, because beginning in June, many of our legislators will be taking time to focus not only on the issues of the state, but also on campaigning for re-election or for election. So we're going to have a slightly shorter issue. Helen?
I want to talk about policy just to give you a couple of examples of how it really works.
This is really what you do. I mean, you're working with legislators and on the policy and the advocacy areas all the time. So tell us what it's like in the real world.
In the real world, you know, we start with certain philosophical statements, which is that, for instance, older people prefer to receive services in their homes. And that is a policy that we look at every piece of legislation, every planning on health care and long-term care, and see if it meets that need to provide people services in their home. Now, there's another strong public policy out there that's pretty universally agreed on, which is government money must be spent wisely. Taxpayer money should be spent wisely. So what a good advocate does is take all the philosophic and policy statements and weave it together to make a program that works. So I'm hoping that the people who go through this institute end up saying, okay, here's transportation. Transportation's a huge area. What is it that affects elderly? And if you start with that simple policy statement of assisting people to stay in their homes, then you look at a transportation bill and say, does it provide public transit to get people to the stores? Does it provide them access to their healthcare facilities? Is there a way that the buses could be designed so that more people can use them? And so if we're going to spend a little government money, what is the average citizen going to get in return that helps them live in the way that we as a group agree is the standard that we want people to try to have? They can make all choices within that policy, but they should have certain, you know, standards and safety nets. And so you take those philosophic beliefs and you try to apply them and make them work in the legislative process. We see a lot of, in an ideal world with good government, most of these discussions are about policy. Partisan politics is an overlay of how the public process works, and sometimes hijacks the whole process so that you don't get as many policy discussions. But when government is working at its best, it really is policy that drives the planning. It's policy that evaluates programs to make sure they're providing the services that you really want. And it's policy that brings you all together in a room to say, we have this shared goal. How do we get there?
And I think the issues that that we're going to be talking about this year, and the process involved in talking about those issues will be very important. We have volunteers from organizations like AARP who are involved with issues affecting seniors. We have current legislators from both sides of the aisle. We have current and former agency staff. We have staff to legislators who used to be in the legislature. We are bringing in the experts, including those who are professional advocates. They're lobbyists. Mm. They are the people who are who make sure they are well informed about a specific issue and bring that information to a legislator and to the public so that it can be moved forward.
We're talking about policy today, and I'm going to stop you both because we want to continue the conversation, but we also want to hear from our sponsors. And we're talking about the brand new Women's Policy Institute being launched by the Wisconsin Women's Network. And this policy institute will train women to become advocates in their own communities and to affect policy legislatively and learn how to do it, that whole process, which just from your description is very intricate, from as deep as doing a lot of research to becoming as skilled as giving a quick elevator speech to get somebody's attention. And we'll continue our discussion with our guests, Eve Galanter, who is chair of the Wisconsin Women's Network, and Helen Mark Sticks, who is Associate State Director for State Advocacy, AARP Wisconsin. This segment of our program of All About Living is brought to you by Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, the Life Celebration Center. I'm Carol Kobe, and we'll be right back with more of our program after these messages.
This is All About Living with Carol Kobe, Madison 1670, WTDY.
Welcome back to our program here on 106.7 FM, 1670 AM WTDY, now being broadcast, simulcasting broadcast on both FM and AM bands. And this program is also available on carolkobyradio.com, Carol Kobe, K-O-B-Y, radio.com. All programs are posted, and you can also listen to WTDY anywhere as long as you have access to the internet by going to WTDY.com. And don't forget to get that free WTDY app for your phone as well. Oh, by the time I've said that, the program's over. Well, it's wonderful to be able to reach you in so many ways, and I'm really excited about the program we have today. We're talking about women and women's policy and what's happening in the state of Wisconsin, what's been in place with the Wisconsin Women's Network since 79. That's the voice of Eve Galanter, who is chair of the Wisconsin Women's Network. And I'm looking at the, the January issue of Brava magazine, and right on the cover, Women to Watch, meet 23 extraordinary women making their mark in Madison. And there she is, right in the, not in the center, but on the end of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 women pictured, is Eve Galanter, called inside in the wonderful story that they did about you. You're called the advocate. And that's what this is all about today. Our discussion is on advocacy and policy.
It is. And I think it's an exciting time. And we actually, some people have said, oh my, what a time. You know, this is such a difficult time to be launching an institute given what's going on in the state.
And the Wisconsin Women's Network, just to clarify, because I don't think I said it thoroughly, to bring people back to where we are, the Wisconsin Policy, or the Women's Policy Institute, is a new program just being launched by the Wisconsin Women's Network.
Right.
And it's a program that will teach women, Wisconsin women, to become advocates and to influence policy. Right. And it's a really highly skilled role for women, and not one that they have done a whole lot of work in.
Well, we do think it's critical that we increase the number of women community leaders across the state who are actively involved in shaping and implementing policies that for this year we're going to focus on that affect the health and well-being of our seniors. So we're going to help people develop their policy advocacy skills. But what I wanted to emphasize as well is that as a nonpartisan organization, we looked at the launch of this pilot program and thought, what a challenging time to be bringing people into the advocacy policy process. On the other hand, when you think about it, it couldn't be more serendipitous. Mm-hmm. There is a cry for civic engagement. And well, there is a cry on both sides for civil engagement. So bringing people into this process, learning to develop allies in the legislature, in the government. We will be focusing on the state government, but certainly as these skills are honed, as people overcome the perceived barriers to becoming involved in this process, they can bring that newfound experience and expertise back to their community. We hope to have women from all over the state, rural and urban, women of color, low-income women, multi-generational. We'll be focusing on issues that affect seniors, but all of us have an interest in what will happen in that area.
Time magazine this year named the protester as person of the year, and I said next year it should be the engaged citizen, should be Time magazine's person of the year.
And that's very true. I think one role that good advocacy, besides bringing civility back to the process, can bring us back to dealing with issues and not personalities.
Yes.
And can get us away from making decisions based on kind of a high school popularity contest style, and bring us back to actually doing research, discussing, coalescing, compromising, enhancing each other's idea, and reaching some type of a workable solution that fits with everybody. And I think citizen engagement right now is so critically important. I know Eve and I both share a bit of background where we have worked in places where we listen to constituents on behalf of our bosses, and it is really amazing how powerful individual constituents are as opposed to lobbyists. And I know even within AARP, although I'm a registered lobbyist, it's the voice of our volunteer advocates that gets heard much more strongly than mine. And so to train a crop of people who can go in as citizens and as constituents to talk to policymakers in an area that they develop expertise. We expect our policymakers, you know, our elected officials to know everything. They can't. So if you can come into their office and provide reliable, factual information, identify a problem, and suggest a solution, you have gone a long, long way towards getting their attention and moving your issue forward.
The voice you are just hearing is that, because I don't think I introduced you at the beginning of this segment of our program, is Helen Marks Stix. And Helen is the Associate State Director for State Advocacy, AARP Wisconsin. But you've been around a long time and working on senior issues, and you did work for a state senator, actually worked in the office, and you were telling me earlier that the power of the constituent, it's just amazing. It's not just we think about lobbyists and the money that goes into lobbying, but the individual voice is strongly heard.
The individual voice is strongly heard, and it's heard through a different filter. There's a difference when you walk into an office and you're there because you bring passion or concern to an issue, as opposed to the fact that I know that somebody is paying you to care deeply about mm-hmm. that issue.
And the ability to personalize it, to bring it home, both either in terms of a story about this is what happened to me or to my mother or to a friend or mm-hmm. to someone in the community, and to talk about it in those terms really does make a difference. I have heard these, I have heard this, and I think it really does make a difference. I don't want it at all to denigrate the skills of the professional lobbyist. What I'm hoping, as a matter of fact, is that as many of them, including Helen, and others who are going to be bringing some of that expertise as part of the training for our women who are participating in the Institute, they're going to learn about what to do and what not to do, how to prepare for your visit, how to be succinct about an issue, what kinds of materials to bring to leave. But again, as Helen has said, being able to say, this is what's happening to me. I live in your district, Senator. I live in your district, Representative. This is very, very important to the people in our community, and we need your help. How can we help you help us?
You're going to be training 10 to 15 women this first round in launching the Wisconsin or the Women's Policy Institute. Who are going to be the trainers? You mentioned lobbyists. You're going to bring in some lobbyists and
to bring in professional advocates known as lobbyists. We're going to have current and former state legislators, current and former members of the staff of various state agencies, individuals who have been involved in issues affecting seniors, because we'll be focusing in on that particular issue area. People who have, we have a person who's a retired judge who is going to advise people about how to give testimony. We're going to have a mock committee hearing where we will have individuals who will be able to hear you as you come and give your testimony and help critique it. We're going to be breaking up into teams so that individuals will be able to focus on a particular issue. And yes, we're going to be meeting monthly, and in between the times of our sessions of the Institute retreats, where you will be exposed to these trainers, there will also be mentors, individuals, again, with various areas of expertise who will stay with that team by telephone, talking with them regularly in between sessions, finding out how they're doing, guiding them, helping them resolve problems that they may be experiencing. So it's a hands-on, guided, instructional institute that we hope will result in helping people expand their capacity as individuals and then bring that skill back to their organization so that they can be stronger.
What crossed my mind as you were explaining that, I'm wondering if there could be a benefit on the other end as well. There seems to be so much polarization and partisanship right now, name-calling, focusing on personalities, and what you're describing is a training program that does just the opposite of that, that doesn't deal with personalities, that's not partisan, that's not calling names, but looking at just what you're trying to accomplish. And getting back to that old-fashioned where we heard how legislators used to from both sides, you know, sit and talk together about something and then go out and have a beer together later on. And perhaps could it have an end result that maybe it could impact some of this polarization and the people that we've elected start talking to each other a little bit better?
Well, I would hope so. I mean, what we're really doing is taking citizens and making them more skilled at advocating for themselves and their communities. And if you look at how democracy is supposed to work, it's a citizen-driven, citizen advocacy structure. And so what we're really doing is creating an efficiency by using this institute to take citizens that have an interest and helping them articulate well and lead and train other people to actually talk to the government or to talk to the people who pass the laws or run the programs or make the rules and articulate in such a way the kind of steps that say, this is the problem, this is the potential solution, let's deal with the issues rather than deal with just some type of, as I say, partisan popularity contest. Let's get down to what's the solution. And you can only reach solutions to problems if everybody sits in the room and talks to each other. And we hope that the advocates that get trained through this program go in with, number one, solutions to problems, but also a willingness to listen and learn and to educate others to advocate that they reach the same conclusions, perhaps, that the advocate has. So it's a process that requires you to interact with others, mm-hmm. to have fact-based, to be able to give examples, to look at an array of solutions and figure out what works best. These folks will be trained in a little bit of fiscal stuff, so they won't go in there and presume that there's a money tree in the corner, that things will be can be paid for forever. They'll be trained to look at, can you do it for everybody? Is there one part of the population that needs this particular service more than others? Is there something that you do that has good unintended consequences, or keep your antennas up for bad unintended consequences? If you solve a problem for the elderly, do you create a problem for the disabled mm-hmm. or for children or whatever? So it requires you to take a big picture view and then come back down. And that always requires communication skills and analytical skills. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think that I'm excited that I think this Policy Institute can teach people.
And I think that once you have that foundation, you also then have the confidence to move forward in pursuing what you wish to achieve. And we're going to go behind the scenes, too. We'll bring in people from the Legislative Reference Bureau, from the Fiscal Bureau, from the GAB, people who will tell you what you can do, how much lobbying you really can do, how much advocacy you can undertake as a representative of a nonprofit organization. Many nonprofits fear they can't do any lobbying because it might undermine their nonprofit status.
Right, that's part of the status, that whether or not they lobby.
We will have people who can talk to you about how much of that you can do.
Oh, invaluable.
Your confidence will be built, and the people from the media who are going to be helping us, reporters and people who are involved, editors, people who are involved in getting the word out, helping you hone your message so you get it out effectively.
I hope what's happening in this Policy Institute is shared by the media so everybody can get a little taste of it, and perhaps we can have a trickle-down theory of learning a little bit so it will enhance our just individual conversations, not that we're going to be as deeply involved in this Policy Institute as being part one of the participants or the fellows, but maybe all of us can learn a little bit about kind of making our total conversation more civil. We need to stop for another break. This segment has been brought to you by Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, where expertise with compassion is powerful medicine. We're talking about making policy in Wisconsin and making policy to improve the lives of women and girls in Wisconsin. Our guests, Eve Galanter and Helen Mark Stix. You're listening to All About Living on 106.7 FM, 1670 AM WTDY. I'm Carol Kobe, and we'll be right back after these messages. Helen Mark Stix, who is the Associate State Director, State Advocacy for AARP Wisconsin, and Eve Galanter, who is Chair of the Wisconsin Women's Network, are here today. And we are talking about the new Women's Policy Institute that is being launched by the Wisconsin Women's Network. And it is an exciting program, only one of five in the country. Wisconsin was handpicked, the Wisconsin Women's Network handpicked by the Women's Council of
Women's Foundation of California.
Of California, that really provided a grant to get this.
They provided funding, some of which also came from a national foundation called Atlantic Philanthropies. And I should mention that the last several months we have been focused on raising money to make it possible for the Institute to subsidize to the extent possible the training that we will be providing to the fellows. We're still engaged in raising money. We're thrilled that we have a challenge grant to match the dollars that are given to the to the network for the Institute through February 14. So we're focused on that because we want to make it possible for individuals who work in nonprofits, or maybe they're on the board of a nonprofit, or a volunteer for an organization, or they could be in academia or in philanthropy, they could work for a grassroots organization. We want to make it possible for everyone who wants to participate to do so and not have finances be a barrier.
Let's talk a little bit about actually applying. I mean, who will be attending, what kinds of applications are you getting, and what do people have to do to apply?
We are eager to have women from across the state apply to be a fellow. There is an application on our website. which is wiwomensnetwork.org, and to fill out that application that will describe for you in some way, in some part, you know, what you will be engaged in as you're learning by doing. But you would go to our website and wiwomensnetwork.org and then /issues/WWPI, Wisconsin Women's Policy Institute. The deadline, here we are on Saturday.
Yes.
The deadline is on Tuesday. Monday is a federal holiday. But you can apply both by mail or online so that there is still some opportunity to get your application in. We really want to see women from urban areas, from rural areas, representing organizations that focus on seniors or focus on women or on healthcare or transportation, a whole array of issues.
So it is, it's a short deadline for Tuesday. If people take the first step and say they're interested and begin the application process, because there are a couple of questions that they have to answer, they have to give some thought to, because I looked over the application. And if they get started, is it possible that they can complete the application if you have a few questions and want them to
address? If you have questions, please, beginning on Monday, don't hesitate to call our office here in Madison, 608-255-9809. 608-255-9809.
And as a future advocate, if there's something slowing down the process or you have a really good reason for not being able to make that deadline, I just suggest you call them and start your advocacy by giving them a good argument about why you might need a day or two. After all, advocacy is in your future.
Absolutely. So that's a first step in learning how to do it. And it may be that you need to talk to somebody in your organization that needs to give authority for you to participate or whatever. And so if you're interested at all and think it's something that would benefit you and benefit your organization and benefit the state of Wisconsin and the women and girls who live here, then don't be shy.
Please don't. And in addition to Carol so generously giving us the time to do this, information has gone out through a variety of other means. The Wisconsin Counties Association made it a part of their e-news recently. I know the AARP has been sharing information. And we're delighted, really, at the tremendous and diverse organizations that have expressed interest in the Institute and in helping us communicate with potential participants.
How have the legislators received this idea about the Policy Institute?
They're very, very excited, and we're pleased. Our first session will be in March, and it'll be on a Friday. We're generally going to be on Friday afternoons from about 1 o'clock on, and then Saturday through about 4 or 5. And our very first session in March, the first Friday night, we're going to have a dinner, which the speakers will be legislators from both sides of the aisle, who are women legislators who are very excited about seeing women become more expert in this process, and becoming more involved and being leaders in trying to work on issues affecting seniors.
And I have to say, having worked in a legislative office, it's always nicer for the legislature if they have the input up front so they can deal with problems rather than have the complaints afterwards that it didn't quite work out. So they do appreciate input from individuals on issues.
Well-researched, factual input.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. As Helen mentioned before, the number of issues confronting a legislator at any time are beyond those that you can become as well-informed as the advocate who appears before you. you know the issue inside and out, and you can effectively communicate it, and you'll do even better after you've been a participant in the Wisconsin Women's Policy Institute.
We need to stop for another break. Our time is really flying, and we'll be back with another short segment because we want to wrap up the Women's Policy Institute and the news that it is being launched and some of the key things that you need to know about it so you can participate either in supporting it or actually becoming a fellow and knowing what you have to do to take those steps. This segment of our program has been brought to you by Oak Park Place, where you can live life and live it well. You're listening to All About Living here on 106.7 FM, 1670 AM, WTDY. I'm Carol Kobe, and we'll be right back. The Women's Policy Institute is being launched by the Wisconsin Women's Network, and you have until Tuesday at the end of the day to at least begin your application and let the Wisconsin...
This is a special offer just for the listeners to Carol Kobe's All About Living.
That is Eve Galanter, who is chair of the Wisconsin Women's Network and is really instrumental in having this Women's Policy Institute launched here in Wisconsin. Only one of five in the country. It's exciting. Women from all over the state will come to Madison over a period, a couple of days, over a period of a number of months, and will learn how the process of making policy and becoming advocates for your community, for individuals in your community, and for organizations. And Helen Marks-Dix is also here, and she's with AARP Wisconsin, big advocacy group for seniors, and it's focusing on senior issues that the Policy Institute is going to begin. And what are some of the major issues from AARP's perspective, Helen?
Well, you know, the major issues for people are usually that they want to live independently and continue the lives they've had. So it's healthcare and healthcare access. It's economic security, both in the sense of consumer protection, but also having enough money for housing and for food and prescription drugs. I mean, there are some things that are very expensive as you age. It's transportation's a big issue because people need assistance sometimes, but they also would like to be able to use things like bus systems and public transportation to get around and shop. And and the other part of that staying in the community, unfortunately, is sometimes taxes and property taxes. So we have to balance off how much help we want to get and how much we can afford to put into the bucket to get the help to everybody that needs it.
Oftentimes, there are relationships between what the federal government can contribute as well as the state as well. So that would be part, I would think, of learning how to develop policy that you'd want to put at risk any federal dollars that you might get.
Yeah, and the other thing is that the federal government often in healthcare sends down money and allows states to do pilot projects. These would be the wonderful people to be at the table talking about how Wisconsin can do it different and how Wisconsin can do it very Wisconsin specific to meet the needs of our seniors. And the more citizen and consumer input you have in the process, the more likely the programs are going to be designed to actually help the average citizen and the person in need of those.
Well, senior care would be a good example of that, the prescription drug program, and we're the only state in the country that has such a program, and it was the loud voices of the individuals of our state that kept that program in place.
That's right, and this year when there was some question about the continuation of the program, let me tell you, I think the legislators learned very, very quickly how popular that program is, because before even the budget debates, it was off the table, and that's the voice of individual citizens calling in with their personal concerns. This Policy Institute takes it one step further. It helps citizens learn to be leaders of groups of citizens so that they can voice the concerns not only for themselves, but maybe for some people who aren't capable because of infirmities or lack of skill to be able to effectively have their voice heard.
We don't want to have anyone say, well, I didn't call and give my opinion. I mean, I didn't know how to call my legislator. I mean, what would I say? Or how would I write a letter? Or no, that level of lack of civic engagement cannot, it can't be. We cannot continue to have that. We need people who know who their legislator is, how to contact her or him, and how to have the confidence to communicate their concern.
And communicate it civilly, because then the legislator, I would assume, like any of us, will listen a little bit more closely.
That's true.
Let's talk about the contact information. We have less than a minute to go, and so I want to make sure that people know how to contact you and learn more about it.
Here in Madison, 255-9809. And for details about the Institute and the application, go to our website, wiwomensnetwork.org.
Thank you so much. It's exciting. This is the launch year, the first year, certainly a pilot effort, but I suspect that it's going to continue for years to come. And as a result, women and girls in Wisconsin are going to benefit as a result of the work you're doing. This segment of our program has been brought to you today by Home Health United. You got a friend right here, online at homehealthunited.org. I want to thank Eve Galanter, who is chair of the Wisconsin Women's Network, Helen Marks Dix, Associate State Director, State Advocacy, AARP Wisconsin. You are working hard for the good citizens of our state of Wisconsin and giving us all a good lesson on how to make sure that our voice is heard civilly and with engagement.
Thank you, Carol.
You. Thank you for listening to All About Living. Thank you, Jason Stapleman. And tune again next week for another All About Living program here on 106.7 FM, 1670 AM, WTDY. Nagawet, and have a great rest of the weekend. 106.